John F. Kennedy's presidency was one of the shortest in history, yet it remains one of the most enduring. In 1960, at age 43, JFK became the youngest ever elected president. He was assassinated 3 years later. Kennedy's administration confronted several crises, but none more harrowing than the Cuban Missile Crisis, which almost led to nuclear war between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. Here's part of President Kennedy's speech to the nation near the beginning of that crisis in October of 1962.
Under the Charter of the United Nations, we are asking tonight that an emergency meeting of the Security Council be convoked without delay to take action against this latest Soviet threat to world peace. I call upon Chairman Khrushchev to halt and eliminate this clandestine, reckless, and provocative threat to world peace and to stable relations between our two nations.
Historian Robert Dalek was the first author granted access to previously sealed Kennedy medical records and other material. His new biography discloses more about JFK's health problems throughout his presidency and an affair that Kennedy had with a White House intern. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports.
The book is titled An Unfinished Life, John F. Kennedy, 1917 to 1963. Robert Dalek writes that the president took many prescription drugs, including amphetamines, sedatives, testosterone, and codeine. But the author concludes that the drugs were, quote, no impediment to being an effective president.
The tapes, transcripts, conversations we have in considerable abundance during those 13 days of the missile crisis, I found him to be cogent and lucid and as on top of the issue as any president could have been. So maybe he was able to compartmentalize. But my medical friends tell me that, in fact, taking the medicines allowed him to function at so high a level. He probably never could have been president if he didn't have these medicines available to him.
One of the criticisms coming from your fellow historians is, has the Kennedy family released this material because they believe that Robert Dalek is going to burnish the legacy of Camelot?
Well, two things on that count. One is, no preconditions were set on my use of the material. I could not make Xerox copies, but I was able to take handwritten notes, and my medical friend and I were able to read into a tape recorder, which we did, the materials we were looking at. But I did not show the library. I did not show any member of the committee that gave me access or any member of the family what I was going to write. And so this assertion that I would be safe, so to speak, seems to me unfounded because I did describe a cover-up. On the other hand, I do also say that he showed extraordinary courage and strength of character. And what's most impressive to me, I set the medical problems and the MAR, which is a medicine administration record, down alongside of the various crises he passed through as president, in particular the Cuban Missile Crisis. And this is the bottom line, the fundamental question. Did the man function effectively as president despite taking all these medicines and having so many ailments? And my answer is yes.
You, again, were given documents indicating that the president had an affair with a 19-year-old in the White House.
Yes. There's an oral history at the Kennedy Library authored by Barbara Gammarikian, who was in the White House press office with P.S. Salinger. It was 17 blacked-out pages. She lives in Washington. I do, too. I went to see her, talked to her, and said, Barbara, may I read this? And she said, well, it's 40 years later. Okay, I'm going to let you have it. And she did ask me to show her the material that I used from her oral history and from the interview I had with her, and I did agree to that, and she signed off on everything I wrote. So she was the one who gave me the information about the intern. I asked her for the name of the intern, and she wouldn't give it to me. And she said, I don't want to embarrass the woman. She's about 60 years old now. And I said, I understand, and it's fine with me, and I trust what you're telling me, Barbara. I don't need to interview this woman. Well, of course, it's turned out to be entirely accurate. The New York Daily News pursued the question of who she was. They found out. She gave them an interview, and she acknowledged that this was quite true, quite accurate. And, in fact, she said she's relieved to have the story now out in the open.
Given the revelation about the president's relationship with a 19-year-old intern at the White House, how does it impact his legacy?
The additional information about the intern stirs so much interest because of the obvious connection to Bill Clinton. I had only two lines in my book about it, and part of my interest in putting it there is it's a historical fact, and there is so much material out there about John F. Kennedy's philandering, about his womanizing, and this is an additional detail.
Well, you know, Seymour Hersh talks a lot about this in his book, which came just before yours, The Dark Side of Camelot.
Yes.
And in fact, it seemed as if there was an effort by historians to kind of debunk the Kennedy myth. Is there a fight between historians and the public over the presidency of John F. Kennedy?
Without question. There was a poll done by USA Today. Who was the greatest president in American history? Public said Abraham Lincoln. John F. Kennedy was number two. The great bulk of historians would obviously dispute that, say, look, the man served for 1,000 days. He had the sixth shortest presidency in American history. The domestic record fell well short of anything that would mark him out as great or even near great. Never got any of his major legislative initiatives through, civil rights. Foreign policy, there were certain stumbles like the Bay of Pigs operation, apparent escalation of the war in Vietnam. So how can you account for the fact that the public sees him at such a high level? Well, first of all, he was assassinated, and this remains important to the public. So I think there attaches to him his youthfulness, his hope, his promise, and the country won't let that go. And I think it'll last for a long time yet.
Robert Dallek is the author of An Unfinished Life, John F. Kennedy, 1917 to 1963. He believes there are still more secrets about former President Kennedy to be revealed when First Lady Jackie Kennedy's papers are opened 50 years after her death in 2044. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.
An excerpt of Robert Dallek's book and an extended version of his interview with Juan are at npr.org. From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, produced by Jim Wallace and Chip Grabo, directed by Van Williamson and Christine Arrowsmith, and edited by Doreen McAllister, Jeffrey Katz, Bridget Kelly, and Maeve McGoran. Senior editor Susan Feeney, senior producers Aneva Grant and Audrey Wynn, executive producers Ella McDonald. The Radio Expedition's production staff includes Carolyn Jensen and Jessica Goldstein, and this week, sound engineer Leo Delagula, who recorded the Ethnosphere series. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Bob Edwards.